Are you a writer or coach? Do you dream of building a successful online business? Are you tired of hearing the gurus tell you that you need a big launch or a complicated funnel software? Whether you're struggling with self-doubt, imposter syndrome, or just feeling overwhelmed by too many choices, I can help. Hi, I'm Jonathan Milligan, author of Your Message Matters. And I recently put together a free on-demand video training called How to Build an Online Business as a Writer or Coach, The Low-Tech Way. Inside, you'll discover the low-tech system that 30x'd my online business. Just go to freetrainingvideo.net to get started. Again, that's freetrainingvideo.net. So how do you live out your dream when times are hard? How do you get your message out there when you feel like no one's paying attention? And what do you do when you feel like giving up? Well, the answer is found in today's episode. Let's get started. Hey, Messenger, welcome to the Market Your Message show. I'm Jonathan Milligan, author of the book, Your Message Matters. And our goal here is to help you rise above the noise and get paid for what you know. Now, in today's episode, I'm going to be talking about the Messenger Manifesto, 6 truths to live by every day. In fact, here's what we're going to be talking about. In this episode, I'm going to talk about how a simple 3-sentence prayer turned everything around for me. I'm going to talk about why you should place your focus on this one thing instead of doing what everybody else does. Also, how to get through the tough times when it feels like no one is paying attention, and much more. But first, I want to talk about where do you start when you don't know where to start? Maybe right now you're like, Jonathan, I want to start an online business. I've been wanting to, write. I feel like I have a desire to write books or podcast or start a YouTube channel or coach or consult or do something, but I just don't know how to define it all. What's my message? Well, if that's you, I want to encourage you to right now go grab our Discover Your Message Blueprint. This is a 10-page guide that'll walk you through how to discover your purpose, people, and passion. And be able to summarize it all in one sentence. So to get that, just go to marketyourmessage.com/discover. All right. So today I'm going to be talking about the Messenger Manifesto. And actually, I'm going to share with you some parts of the book that I just wrote. And specifically, I want to talk about chapter 5. It's titled The Messenger Manifesto. And I'm going to deliver that to you today. So before I actually read the messenger, actually the 3-sentence prayer or the 3-sentence manifesto, let me give you a little bit of backdrop from chapter 5. This is what I wrote in the book. Before people buy what you're selling, you must believe in your message. The two things always happen in that order. The belief has to be real. You can't fake your way to success, and it has to begin with you. You must champion your message before others will believe it. I know this from personal experience. I remember a particular day 7 years ago that left me restless. I was frustrated. I had just spent an entire work week being non-productive, indecisive, and unmotivated. I was in a rut. Lost in a sea of activities, every task seemed futile. And I was on the verge of burnout. If I love my work, why does it suddenly feel so difficult? I wondered. According to author Michael Hyatt, his wife Gail Hyatt says, people lose their way when they lose their why. I certainly had lost mine. I desperately needed to reconnect with my why. And so here's what I did that day. I sat down and I wrote out and scratched out a little prayer, like a daily manifesto, a daily prayer that I wanted to remind myself of my big why. Why was I doing this thing? And why, even in the midst of times where I felt discouraged or I felt like no one was paying attention, I wanted something to help me to keep going. And that's when I wrote this manifesto. And here's the manifesto. As I begin my day, I will choose to work from a place of mission and not fear, service and not greed, humility and not pride. I choose today to offer hope to the discouraged, purpose to the doubting, and direction to the confused. May this be my vision as I work today to build the business. Now, I can't tell you how encouraging those words have been to me over the years. It's been an encouragement to me. And what I want to do today is I want to break this down. How can we take this simple three-sentence manifesto or prayer and break it down to the six truths that you can live by every day that keep you fueled up, keep you showing up, even when you feel like nothing's working? All right, so let's dive into these six truths, and I want to walk you through this one by one and share just a few examples with you today. So here is truth number one. Mission produces a singular focus. Fear produces a scattered mind. Now, there's a great story that I love from a nurse named Bronnie Ware. She spent her career caring for people in the final stages of their life, which honestly led to frank conversations that led Bronnie to actually write a memoir entitled The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. And in her book, Bronnie outlines the top 5 most common regrets she heard from people at the end of their life. And here are the top 5 regrets. Number 1, I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. Number 2, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. Number 3, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings. Number 4, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. And number 5, I wish that I had let myself be happier. Now, think about that. Think about that list I just read. How many of those regrets would you say are connected to a feeling of fear? I could argue that 4 of the 5 regrets are connected to a fear-centered life and not a mission-centered life. And here's the way out for us. The way out is for us to focus on mission and not fear. And I want to make sure that, you know, right now that, you know, the stuff that you're working on isn't fear-based. It's so easy for us to work out of fear. We have the fear of missing out. We have the fear of not being good enough. We have the fear of rejection, all those fears. Well, what gets us out of the fear-based mentality? It's a mission-based mentality. In fact, that's why this manifesto starts with, as I begin my day, I will choose to work from a place of mission and not fear. I can't tell you how much that has settled me over the years for me to realize that what I'm working on is so much bigger than me. It's this higher calling. It's this mission that I want to be about my life. And I just need to steward my gifts. I just need to show up and steward my gifts like a farmer stewards and plows their field. Keep showing up. That brings me to truth number 2. Serving narrows our energy. Greed spreads our energy thin. Now, in the book, I actually talk about Milton Hershey. Have you heard of Milton Hershey? Well, have you ever heard of Henry Hershey? Most people haven't heard of Henry Hershey. Henry Hershey was actually Milton's father, but they both took 2 completely different paths. Let me read you a little bit of the story of what I wrote. Milton Hershey, it's impossible to say that name without thinking about the chocolate candy bar. I remember visiting Hershey, Pennsylvania as a 10-year-old boy. The moment my family drove into town, it felt like a true-to-life Willy Wonka experience. The street lamps were shaped like large Hershey kisses. The house at the top of the hill toward the end of town was known as Hershey Mansion. Near the line where people stood to enter Hershey Museum, there was an 8-foot-tall Hershey chocolate milk carton. I really wanted to know if there was chocolate milk inside. Not only had Milton Hershey discovered the secret recipe for making amazing chocolate, but he had successfully built an entire town from his wealth. In fact, he went so far as to build homes for his employees. The homes he built were some of the first homes in the United States to be supplied with electricity. By nearly every conceivable measuring stick, Milton Hershey was a success. But have you ever heard of Henry Hershey? While Milton spent hours upon hours perfecting milk chocolate, Henry Hershey, Milton's father, took a much different approach to business. Henry had always been on the lookout for the next get-rich-quick scheme. He was an optimist, entrepreneur, and opportunist, all wrapped into one. Unfortunately, while you can certainly admire Henry for being all of these things, his plans didn't work out so well. Henry spent his entire life moving from one big idea to the next without giving any of them an opportunity to succeed. Whereas Milton spent his life perfecting milk chocolate, Henry dabbled in real estate, oil prospecting, fish farming, along with making cough drops, planting fruit trees, raising cattle, planting berries, and growing roses. While Milton placed his focus on just one thing, Henry had his hands in many things all at once. Ultimately, Milton found success by focusing on serving customers the best chocolate in the world. Henry failed at achieving wealth because he had been focused on opportunities and not people. Milton's focus was on service, Henry's on greed. Milton served people by delivering better chocolate. Henry served himself. If there's one lesson we can take away from this story, it's this. If you want to build a business that matters, focus on service, not greed. Now, that's a great slogan to like slap up on your wall and say, we focus on service and not greed. But is it true in how you approach every single day, every single decision? And so again, truth number two is serving narrows our energy. When you serve a specific group of people and you're there to serve them, to make their lives better, it narrows your energy like a laser. But when you're focused on greed, guess what happens? Your energy is spread thin. It's spread out. There's no impact because your energy is going in a million different directions instead of being targeted like a laser. And that brings me to truth number three. Humility puts the focus on others. Pride puts the spotlight on yourself. Notice in the manifesto, it says, as I begin my day, I will choose to work from a place of mission and not fear, service and not greed, humility and not pride. You know, our culture has a fascination with superheroes, don't we? I know our family love Marvel movies. We love superheroes. And I was having this discussion. I was talking with my son once, and we were talking about why do we have an equal fascination with the villains as well as the superheroes. And here's what I wrote in the book. Good villains have some redeeming, likable qualities. They are persuasive and confident, and they stop at nothing to get what they want. When you think about it, they have many of the same qualities as the superheroes. They are just misdirected. The distinguishing factor is that one focuses on the humility of serving humanity, and the other focuses on pride. And that is so important that we get that. That truth is when I approach my day, this isn't about me promoting myself. It can feel like that a lot of times, especially if you're working on being known as a speaker, wanting to be known as a writer or a coach or a teacher. It's easy to kind of put that spotlight on yourself, but it's not about you. It's about your message. And it's about serving the people who need that message. Which leads me to truth number four. Hope inspires the future. Discouragement dreads the past. In the classic movie Dead Poets Society, Professor John Keating faces a huge undertaking, teaching a group of misfit boys how to appreciate the arts and literature. Most of Professor Keating's students see little value in learning poetry from the dead poets of the past. Most of them see little value in their own future as well. Professor Keating knows he must take drastic actions to help encourage and awaken the hearts of his students. So he begins a series of exercises to get them out of their seats and become active participants. The professor's passion for creative work begins to instill hope in the boys. Quote, no matter what anybody tells you, words and ideas can change the world. End of quote. Professor Keating tells them he wanted to inspire them towards an amazing future. And so part of the Messenger Manifesto, the second sentence says this, I choose today to offer hope to the discouraged. You know, it doesn't matter what industry you're in, who your audience is. If you're serving people, there's always a segment of those people who are discouraged. They're discouraged about life. They're discouraged about relationships. They're discouraged about their financial situation. They're discouraged about their lack of spirituality or connection with God. They're discouraged about choices they've made in life. If you serve people, you serve people who are discouraged. And so as a messenger, one of your duties is to bring hope to people who are living discouraged. And if they connect you with hope, then you become the guide. You become the person they want to connect to. Because not only do you provide tactical information, but you provide hope. You know, for me, I've been helping bloggers and writers and speakers for the last 10 years, help them to build their platform online. And while I love to teach marketing tactics and helping them build their audience, what I've also come to realize is the value and importance of instilling hope. You see, it doesn't really matter if you've got a three-step plan to build an audience, if every day you wake up discouraged, you're not going to do the thing. You've got to also have hope. And as guides, our responsibility is to bring hope to the discouraged. Truth number five, purpose produces confidence. Doubt births inaction. Now, this is an important lesson for all of us aspiring guides. Some of the work we hope to serve want the results, or some of the people we hope to serve want the results without the work. You know, there's a great movie that I love. It's The Karate Kid. Karate Kid's at the top of my list of all-time favorite movies. And in the opening scenes of the movie, Daniel LaRusso, an only son raised by a single mother, reluctantly moves from the East Coast to the West Coast. Leaving his high school friends behind, he must start all over in a new place. Just his luck, he runs into a group of bullies determined to make his life miserable. Then enters Mr. Miyagi. He's more than just the maintenance man for the apartment building. Mr. Miyagi has a black belt in karate. Daniel, desperate to learn karate in order to defend himself, begs Mr. Miyagi to become his teacher. After much coercion, Mr. Miyagi finally agrees. But what happens next is nothing like what Daniel expected. Instead of learning special karate techniques in the dojo, Daniel finds himself performing chores like painting the fence and waxing the car. It doesn't take long before Daniel believes he's just being taken advantage of. What he doesn't realize is that Mr. Miyagi is teaching him the fundamentals of karate. Daniel wants to learn how to do a roundhouse kick, but Mr. Miyagi is giving him core teachings first. One of my favorite lines in the movie is when Mr. Miyagi tells Daniel, first learn stand, then learn fly. And you know, that's true for us. As guides, as messengers, we can build confidence in our audience by giving them the simplest next step, breaking it down. And so as we see here in the Messenger Manifesto, we also should bring purpose to the doubting. See, people are doubting today. They're doubting whether they're good enough. They're doubting whether they can do this. They're doubting whether they can be a good parent. They're doubting whether they can be successful in their career. They're doubting so many things. And we can bring purpose to those people by giving them practical steps as a guide. And then finally, last one, truth number six, is direction calls us to adventure. Confusion leads to delay. The last part of this second sentence says, offer direction to the confused. I don't know about you, but it seems like people are more confused than ever, especially now. I mean, this past year has been absolutely crazy. Everything we thought to be normal and true has changed. And so part of our responsibility as guides, as messengers to the people we want to serve, is to help bring them encouragement, purpose, and direction. They're looking for direction. And so direction calls us to adventure. Confusion leads to delay. There's a great story I found when I was doing research for my book, and it was the story about how George Lucas, the writer and creator of Star Wars, how he actually came up with the character Luke Skywalker. Did you know in the original story, Luke Skywalker actually was not in the manuscript? And George Lucas knew something was missing from his story. His story was bland. There was something that just didn't seem right. And let me read you what George Lucas discovered that brought Luke Skywalker to life. The story of Luke Skywalker is timeless because it follows something called the hero's journey. In 1975, George Lucas had already written two drafts of Star Wars, yet something was still missing from the story. That's when Lucas discovered a book that he'd first read in college, Joseph Campbell's The Hero with a Thousand Faces. In the book, Campbell points out that all stories through history are expressions of the same story pattern. The story starts with the main character's call to adventure. Before too long, the character meets a mentor. The mentor is not the hero of the story. The main character is the hero. The mentor is the one who gives direction and helps the character become the hero he or she was meant to be. Here's a great reminder, okay? Great reminder for all of us as we serve our audience. You're not the hero. You're not their hero. You're the guide. They are the hero. You see, Luke Skywalker was the hero, not Yoda. Yoda was the guide who had the plan that he was going to encourage the reluctant hero to step in and become the hero that he was always meant to be. And the same is true for the people that you want to serve. They don't see themselves as the hero, but you need to start championing them as the hero. And don't make you the hero. You're just the guide. And so again, let's look at this messenger manifesto. It says, as I begin my day, I will choose to work from a place of mission and not fear, service and not greed, humility and not pride. I choose today to offer hope to the discouraged, purpose to the doubting, and direction to the confused. May this be my vision as I work today to build the business. So I want to end this session on giving you a little challenge. I call it the 30-Day Messenger Manifesto Challenge. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to read the Messenger Manifesto every day before you start doing your thing, before you start your work, and begin to let these truths be ingrained in you so that you work from a place of mission and not fear, service and not greed, and you're helping others live out their hero's journey. And so if you'd like to get a copy of this, you can actually go to yourmessagematters.com/tools, and you can actually get a PDF copy of this to print out. So with that, we're going to wrap this up by saying, maybe you don't know where to start. Maybe you're wondering, where do I get started in the first place? I don't even know my message yet. Here's where you start. Go to marketyourmessage.com/discover, and you can download this 10-page guide, the Discover Your Message Blueprint, today. All right. Did you enjoy this episode? If so, would you take a moment, like, share, or subscribe, or even review our show? And also, what topics would you like for me to cover in future episodes? Let me know. But until then, never forget, your message matters.